I am so full. I'm going to be way fuller yet. I'm having to just trust him for almost every sentence. Because it doesn't matter if you hear me. It does matter if you hear him. And I believe the Lord knows right where we are. He knows the warfare that we're in. He knows. The Lord knows those that are his. He knows. And we are on the cusp of revival. So I'm going to share what he lets me share. Hallelujah. I thank God for each and every one of you that is doing the instructions that the Lord gave us for this year. And I know many are doing it around the world. We thank God for you. I'm going to say it again. Noah, he received his instructions from the Lord. And it took him 100 years of faithfully every day doing what God told him to do before he ever saw what God had told him. It took 100 years of faithful obedience every day. You know, people had to make fun. I haven't been there, but Pastor Jim Martin and Bronk and others have been to the Ark Museum, I think they call it, that's in Kentucky. And it's built to scale. It's massive, that thing. They say, if you live in the vicinity, there's no ignoring it. It's huge, you know. I said, don't you know they had to come and make fun of Noah? What are you doing? What are you and your sons doing here? Flood, it's never even rained. What are you talking about? For 100 years, Noah preached. He said he was a preacher of righteousness, which means he repent, you know. The world was extremely wicked. If anyone had a right to get discouraged, I think it would be Noah. 100 years faithfully obeying God. Every day. Hard work too. Cutting down trees and making wherever they got the pitch and all of the things. If you read the instructions, he received very precise instructions. God asked us to do it for 1 year. Oh, Lord, it's too hard. 100 years. Not one person repented at his preaching for 100 years. Now, don't tell me that's not discouraging. Because nobody got on the boat with him. Not a cousin, not an uncle, not an aunt, not a relative, not a friend. Nobody. 100 years. Not one person. I don't know if you've ever noticed it, but it wasn't Noah that closed the door to that ark. It says God closed it. Boy, when the rains, I remember Pastor Dave teaching this, when the rains began to fall. People saw that what Noah had been preaching was true. Don't you know they came to that boat, pounding on it, screaming, at least take my child, you know. Seek the Lord while he may be found, you know. Thank God right now the door is open to anybody who wants to be saved. Jesus is the ark. But his message to us today is, Noah is not in the hall of faith because he received God's instructions. Hall of faith, you know what I mean, here in Hebrews. No, he's in the hall of faith because he did the instructions he was given. Didn't let discouragement stop him. Didn't let lack of fruit stop him. Didn't let lack of others believing him stop him. I'm going to obey God. Because he did obey God, there's still humans on planet Earth. If he hadn't, there wouldn't be. Or at least God would have had to start all over again. Well, we've received our instructions for this year, exactly what to do. It's not like we're not ever going to be able to stand before Jesus and say, I didn't know what to do in the year 2020. Yeah, you did too. You either did them, or you're either going to do them, or you're not going to do them. I've made up my mind. I'm doing them. And I thank God for each and every one of you, not only here, but around the world. And I believe the same way that Noah changed the generation that he lived in, we're going to change the generation we live in. I believe we're on the cusp of the greatest revival since the book of Acts. In fact, there's a word recently, it's going to exceed the book of Acts. Because it's going to be the combination of the former and the latter rain. Hallelujah. Thank God for you. Don't be discouraged. Don't quit. Let's do what God's instructed us to do. Amen. All right. Now, with that in mind, I just know a little bit where to start, and we'll follow him the best I know how through this. Go to Mark chapter 4. And we're not going to do I know you think, oh, here we go. The sower soweth the word. Well, sort of. That's really not the message today. Now, the message today is I saw it again today as vivid as the day it happened. One day, I don't know how many years ago it was now, a few years ago, I was standing here preaching just like I am right now. And right over there in between those two speakers, now I saw it, I don't think anybody else saw it. You can think I had pizza the night before if you want to. But anyway, all I know is I saw Jesus walk through the wall right in between those two speakers. He walked right over here, stood right here to my right. He put his left hand on the Bible. I think he actually did it like this when I saw it. Anyway, he put his left hand here. And he just said, I want to be believed. I want to be believed. So now, I said Mark 4, but I'm hearing John 14, so keep your place in Mark 4. Go to John 14. This is almost like the vision verse, the vision statement for the prayer center and all of those that are connected with it around the world. There's a reason for it being the prayer center. Prayer is not the end result. Prayer is a means to an end. That we come to the place where we believe. See? So, we'll start I'm after verse 12, of course, but verse 10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. See, I have read that at least hundreds of times. Thousands might be too many. At least hundreds and hundreds of times. And I got a fresh understanding of it this past week. The words that I speak not of myself. I don't know how much he'll let us get into humility today. I'm not talking about God. I'm talking about the man, Jesus of Nazareth, the man, the son, you know, son of God, son of man. Let's talk about son of man. Holy Spirit recently said to me, Jesus of Nazareth. Now, when he says it like that, he means the man. Was the humblest man ever to live on planet Earth. He didn't even choose his own words. Think of that. Here's a new goal that I've got for myself. Think of this, because the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Well, no wonder he's called the Word of God. He didn't say anything that wasn't the Word of God. The words that I speak unto, here's a new goal I have. See, every word that comes out of my mouth, it's either Gary speaking or it's God speaking. I've got a new go. I want it to be God speaking now. I want to be so full. I want to become an empty vessel. A Romans 12:1 person. Where my body is presented to Him for His purposes and His purpose alone. For Him to do with it as He will. And that even includes my brain. To think His thoughts, hear His voice, speak His words. And if I say anything, it's not me speaking. I speak not of Gary. It is the Father in me. Or I could say for me, it'd be the Lord in me, Jesus, Christ in me. It's either me speaking or Him speaking. How about we let Him speak? That's a new goal I have. So I may act weird to you. You may ask me something that may be a hesitation. I'm listening. You know, most people have more instant answers to immediate problems than they think they have. They say, no, I don't. I got these problems. You already have an instant answer, really. Well, what would that be? It is written. That's how Jesus did it when the devil threw the kitchen sink at Him, if I can say it that way, threw everything hell had at Him. But see, most of us, we have the Word in us, but it's like on a library shelf way in the back somewhere low. It's in there. You know, give me, wait, it's on my phone, just a minute. He's using the phrase with me this week. He says, my Word has to be top shelf. Top shelf. Forefront. Was with Him. He had an instant answer for everything the devil threw at Him. It is written. Gee, I have that too. Bottom shelf or top shelf? Needs to be top shelf. You make it easy for me to preach, by the way. Like a sponge here. I haven't even got to the verse. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. I just can't tell you. It's just, yeah. If all the prayer I've done this year, and it's been, I mean, it's just, I'm doing it. If all I get out of it is what I got this week from that passage, it's been worth every bit of it. There's a change in me that I can't go back from now. There's a change in me. Got a new goal. I got a new vision. It's either me speaking or Christ speaking. I want it to be Christ speaking. You may not always like that. When I say you, I mean people that ask me for counsel. Remember, I am not a pastor. Sometimes when He speaks, it's woe unto you. Woe unto you. You better repent. Anyway, that's not really the message. I'm trying. I am really trying. It's the Father in me. The Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Now, division. I want to be believed. Believe me. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sakes. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name. Now he could say, believe me. Believe this. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. But he starts it off. He that believeth on me. He that believeth. See, very often I feel like the man in Matthew 17 that brought his deaf and dumb son. The one version of Matthew's account said he was lunatic. Mark's account said more specifically it was a deaf and dumb spirit. We may look at that. And that man, no doubt, had prayed, had done everything he knew to do. He even, when he saw his prayers were not effective, he did the next best thing. He brought him to his disciples because he had heard that the disciples of Jesus had been having success casting out devils and healing the sick. So he brought him to the disciples. And I'm sure they did what they had been taught. And they had had success before casting out devils and healing the sick. But the manifestations of this one were very strong. He foamed at the mouth. It would make him wallow on the floor. It had fits. So they're watching this. And it said he pineth away, which means he was skin over, stretched over bones. I mean, he was a sight to behold. Here comes this young man. But he's been this way since a child. And it worked on the disciples. It affected their faith, obviously. And he tried the same thing with Jesus, if you read all the accounts of it. He tried the same thing with Jesus. As soon as Jesus came on the scene, that thing threw him on the ground, and he tried. He said, well, it worked on the disciples. I'm going to do it with Jesus. Foamed at the mouth, wallow on the ground, no telling. Looked like a skeleton with skin stretched over it. Yes, sir, I'm going to go ahead and say this. Now, humility. See, we live in a educated first world country. This country does not believe deafness can be caused by a spirit. That's not always caused by a spirit. Because there's times Jesus healed the deaf and didn't say anything about a spirit. But see, in this country, you ask any doctor, can a devil cause somebody to be deaf? Now you already know the answer you're going to get. No. Well, what about, could it make them not be able to speak? When the Bible says dumb, it doesn't mean they're stupid. It means they can't speak. Ask any doctor. Ask anybody. Can a demon cause somebody to not be able to speak? And you're going to get the answer is no. See, and if the church continues there, we're not going to be effective in the kingdom of God, because this one was a spirit. And it was causing dumbness, deafness, foaming at the mouth, affecting his appetite. See, we've got some humbling to do. When he says those that believe, we have got to believe. And if it's a devil, we have to yield our 21st century brain to the Word of God, no matter what modern science says. And if it's a devil, it's got to be cast out. There is no cure other than that. Humility. Well, see, now, Smith Wigglesworth is a champion of mine, a hero of mine. He died the same year I was born. He raised 20 people from the dead. All kinds of miracles. They called him the apostle of faith in his generation. He traveled over 44,000 miles, according to his own records, in the day when you had to do it by ship. I never read where he flew on an airplane. Maybe he did, but what I read, he traveled by train and by ship. You know, 44,000 miles. And even then, the crowds, he said there would be 2,000 in the morning and 5,000 in the evening. Why? Why do people? See, you're not going to have to worry about church growth. I am not interested in church growth programs. If we allow Jesus to manifest through us, church growth will not be our problem. Where in the world to put them all, that will be our problem. Dave would say when revival really breaks out, you'll be so busy opening the eyes of the blind and praying for little kids with bald-headed kids with cancer, getting them free. Man, they're going to swarm these fields around this place. Wouldn't you? You found some place where you heard there's a place where I can bring my child that's got cancer, and Jesus will heal him. There's nothing in the world going to keep me from bringing my child there. He says, you'll be so busy healing the sick, casting out devils, you'll be begging Tim, do we have a cot? Is there just a cot somewhere in the corner? Don't we have a cot somewhere where I could just catch 20 minutes nap? Just please. God, give us some of that. I'm pressing towards that. I believe that with all my heart, or I wouldn't be here. I'd just be honest, I wouldn't be here. So I like studying men that's made their way into the power of God, and women. You know, I've studied Catherine Kuhlman and others. But I've been rereading a book that I've had for a long time from Smith. It's amazing as you grow, how you can read something at one level. Then you read it 10 years later at another level. And you go, when did they add this chapter? When did they add these sentences? I don't remember those ever being in there before. Now see, the subject today is I want to be believed. Jesus plainly says, I want to be believed. The whole reason we have church is not so you can fulfill your obligation. God, did I say that out loud? I did not say that out loud. The purpose we have church is to perfect, let's say it this way, mature the body of Christ, to grow up into Him so we can go and do the work. Fulfill our obligation is do the work that we've been called to do, see. So I like studying men that made it into the work, actually able to do it. So the subject matter is believe me, he that believeth on me, the works that I do. Whether I've been studying Smith, and I've known for years, you know, they called him the apostle of faith. Now you can go back to Mark 4. Because of the way the Lord was able to use him. It was just astounding the way the Lord would use the man. And everybody knew he was not educated. He never went to seminary. He could hardly read. When him and his wife Polly got married, she's the one that taught him really to read. And really, she was the articulate one. And he was more the helper. He was in the plumbing business. He was a lay preacher for a long time. And I'm going to read you a story while he was still a lay preacher. But even then, they started a mission. And of course, women were not allowed to be pastors. But his wife was really the speaker at this point. Now later on, after he got baptized in the Holy Ghost, he was able to articulate and speak more powerfully. But still, it was uneducated. People would almost laugh at his lack of grammar skills. They wouldn't laugh when he'd raise the dead. It's not our grammar skills that gets it done, you know. So, his faith, when they'd ask him, what is the secret to this great faith? What is the secret to it? He always answered with this out of Mark 4 is the reason we're turning here. He would answer with this, starting in verse 26. So is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground. Now we know from the parable, what is the seed? The sower soweth the what? The word. As if a man should sow the word into him. You're the ground. You know that, right? All right? And should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. See, the goal, the job that we have is to sow it and keep it in there. The seed has the power to grow on its own. We don't even have to know how. We got to be full of it as written. Okay. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. Now this is the part that Smith would quote. They'd say, what is the secret to great faith? And he would just say this part. First the blade. Then the ear. Then the full corn in the ear. That's the part Smith would say. And I'll finish it up though. Jesus said, but when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle because the harvest is come. In other words, you got your answer. You got your miracle. Now, rereading this book, I know people are going to ask me, Angie, what did I say it was? It's Smith Wigglesworth, The Greater Works. The Greater Works. It's an old book. I've had it many years. It's still available at Amazon if you want to get a copy. I like it on Kindle. I like all my books on Kindle where I can do word searches. But this is a Kindle that I've got here. You can have Kindle on your iPhone now. I think you can even have it on an Android. I don't know for sure. The point is you can have this book if you want it. Well, what does it cost? Does it really matter? if it'll change your life. I like reading after people that made it. Now, I've read this book, I don't know how many times, this might be my third time through it, I'm not sure. But it's amazing what I'm reading that, like, when did they put this in here? Because I'm different. I'm not the same person I was the last time I read it. Now, this portion, Smith tells about his own remarkable healing. Now, this happened when he was a lay pastor. He's still in the plumbing business. You'll see that here. So he's not even full-time. And what I'm about to read you illustrates first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. Okay? This is at blade level. This is early in his ministry. I'm not sure if he's even been baptized in the Holy Ghost yet. I'm not sure about that part. But I do know he says in his own words, he's still a plumber. So he's a lay preacher. Him and his wife have started a mission. And he's designated as pastor because you're not allowed to have the woman can't be pastor. But even though legally he's the pastor, she's the minister at this stage in their ministry. So he must not have been filled with the Holy Ghost because after that, he did more of the speaking. Okay. So this is pretty early on. His wife later died and he continued in ministry for decades after that. But just so you know. So this subheading is called My Own Remarkable Healing. Now I want you to notice this. First, the blade. We are at blade level here. Quote, at one time I was so bound that no human power could help me. My wife thought that I would pass away. There was no help. At that time, I just had a faint glimpse of Jesus as the healer. Let Gary say, first the blade. You got it? First the blade. He's got his first glimpse of Jesus the healer. This is early on. Now, I underline some things. For 6 months, say out loud, 6 months, I had been suffering from appendicitis. Now, I want to pause for a moment. Let me just ask you a question. If you ask any doctor today, can appendicitis be caused by a demon? What are they going to say? They're all of them going to say no. Okay, just keep that in your thinking. I'm going to start again that sentence. For 6 months, I had been suffering from appendicitis, occasionally getting temporary relief. I went to the mission of which I was the pastor, but I was brought to the floor in awful agony. And I was brought home to my bed. Now, all night, I was praying, pleading for deliverance, but none came. Now stop. The man that brought his epileptic son to Jesus, before he brought him to the disciples, do you think he prayed? I bet he prayed all night more than once, pleading for deliverance. Just keep that in your thinking. Okay? So, Smith knew he was doing what he knew to do at the time. First, we're at first the blade level. All night I was praying, pleading for deliverance, but none came. My wife was sure it was my call home. She thought he was going to die. My wife thought sure it was my call home to heaven, and she sent for a physician. He said, there was no possible chance for me. My body was too weak. Having had the appendicitis for 6 months, my whole system was drained. And because of that, he thought it was too late for an operation. Say it out loud with me. Too late for medical help. Appendicitis. 6 months. Prayed all night. No help. No deliverance. Now the doctor says it's too late. So he left my wife in a state of brokenheartedness. Now after he left, I assume it's the same night, a young man and an old lady came to our door. I knew that the old lady, he knew this person, I knew that the old lady was a woman of real prayer. They came upstairs to my room. I'm just going to read it like he's got it. This young man jumped on the bed and commanded the evil spirit to come out of me. He shouted, "Come out, you devil. I command you to come out in the name of Jesus." Now, is that not the way we've been teaching it in healing? Remember, don't go pray for the sick. Heal the sick. Don't go pray they'd be free. Cast out the devil. Now, you've got to hear this now. I'm going to read that again. That's just, I want you to know what happened. This old lady and this young man and an old lady came in. This young man jumped on the bed and commanded the evil spirit to come out of me. He shouted, "Come out, you devil. I command you to come out in the name of Jesus." Now listen to this. There was no chance for an argument or for me to tell him I would never believe there's a devil in me. He's a pastor. He's been winning people to Jesus for years. He was actually getting people healed before he got baptized in the Holy Ghost. So he's going, there's no devil. Before I had a chance to tell this young man, I don't have no devil in me. See, this man had heard from God. He knew what it was. He knew what to do. He had his instructions. There was no chance for an argument or for me to tell him that I would never believe there was a devil inside of me. But the thing had to go in the name of Jesus, and it went, and I was instantly healed. I'm going to ask you again. Our modern 21st century educated, air conditioned, nice building where everybody wears deodorant. I'm just trying to say, very first world, very nice. If you ask any doctor, can appendicitis be caused by a demon or an evil spirit? Same thing. I don't think you're going to find one anywhere. Or it'd be very rare to find one that says that it can be. Same thing with a deaf spirit. Same thing with a dumb spirit. We may look at that in a minute. But it can be. And we have got to humble ourselves to the Word of God and not think we're smarter than Jesus. Is that plain enough? If God tells you it's a devil and to cast it out, you cast it out in Jesus' name. Now the point is, can you tell that old lady and that young man already knew the battle plan before they come in the door? Can you tell that they had prayed enough to where they had their instructions from God? Well, that's the key. And that's why he has us in this year to complete the purging process. But now I want you to notice, this was the blade level. He said, I had the faintest glimpse in those days of Jesus the healer. His own prayer could not get him delivered. His own faith could not get him delivered. But that doesn't mean he wasn't at the blade, at the blade level. Okay? Because he did believe, to some degree, that Jesus was the healer. And actually, I know from reading other books, that by the time they started that mission, they were getting people healed. Okay? Let me just read you the rest of this. It's not just a couple of pages. I arose and dressed and went downstairs. I was still in the plumbing business. So you know this is early on. And I asked my wife, is there any work in? I'm all right now, and I'm going to work. I found that there was a certain job to be done. I picked up my tools, and I went off to do it. Just after I left, the doctor came in, put his hat down in the hall, walked up to the bedroom. But the invalid was not there. Where is Mr. Wigglesworth? He asked. Oh, doctor, he's gone out to work, said my wife. The doctor says, you'll never see him alive again. They'll bring him back a corpse. And Smith is teaching. He says, well, before you see the corpse. It's years later. Now, that was the blade level. Now, watch this. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. What's he talking about? Faith grows. As you sow the word, which is where Jesus said that, the sower sows the word. As you allow that word to be sown in you and stay in you and not be distracted by all of the things in Mark chapter 4, but give the word time, it will grow. It will change the way you think. It will change the way you function. Because then, Smith continues, he says, well, before you see the corpse, I'm sure they all laughed. Then he says, since that time, the Lord has given me the privilege of praying for people with appendicitis in many parts of the world. And I have seen a great many people up and dressed within a quarter of an hour from the time I prayed for them. I'd say that's growth. Wouldn't you say that's growth? First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. He finishes this with, he says, we have a living Christ who is willing to meet people in every place. See, he knows that here. He knows that at that point in his life, but he didn't know that. He was pleading and praying all night. I've done some of that. Got about the same result he did. The answer is not in pleading and praying. The answer is in faith. The answer is in the word manifested in us. I want to read you one more story. Y'all okay with this? I like learning from people that made it. See, one of the reasons that we're here following after Dave is I never got to follow Smith. I mean, he died the year I was born, you know. But see, I personally have watched, could I say, dozens, more than dozens of miracles done through the hands of Pastor Dave Roberson. It's not Pastor Dave, it's Christ in Pastor Dave. You know? But Dave made it into a portion of this. Now, we'd also watch him pray. He prayed for Helena, and we lost her. He prayed for Mary, we lost her. But I thank God for as far as he made it, and I'm interested in sitting under people that made it. So let's read a little more here from Smith. This one is, he says, at the time he says, about 8 years ago, I met Brother Kerr, and he gave me a letter of introduction to a brother in Zion City named Cook. I took his letter to Brother Cook, and he said, God has sent you here. He gave me the addresses of six people and asked me to go pray for them, and then I met him again at 12 o'clock. I got back about 12:30. He told me about a young man who was to be married the following Monday. But his sweetheart was dying of, you guessed it, appendicitis. Here we go again. I went to the house and found that the physician had just been there and had pronounced that there was no hope. The mother was distraught and was pulling her hair and saying, is there no deliverance? I said to her, first the blade. Remember, this is the same man that prayed all night with no deliverance. Years later, I said to her, woman, believe God, and your daughter will be healed and up and dressed in 15 minutes. But the mother went on screaming. They took me into the bedroom, and I prayed for the girl and commanded the evil spirit to depart in the name of Jesus. She cried, I am healed. I said to her, do you want me to believe that you're healed? And if you do, get up. So she said, well, you get out of my room and I'll get up. I love the reality. And in less than 10 minutes, the doctor came in. He wanted to know what had happened. She said, a man came in and prayed for me and I'm healed. The doctor pressed his finger right in the place that had been so sore, and the girl neither moaned nor cried. The doctor said, this is God. And it made no difference whether he acknowledged it or not. I knew that God had worked. Our God, this is Smith now preaching, our God is real. And he has saving and healing power today. Our Jesus is just the same yesterday, today, and forever. And of course, that's Hebrews 13:8. He saves and heals today. And he wants to be your Savior and your healer. Oh, if you would only believe God, what would happen? Is that good stuff or what? First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. See, I don't know what stage we're at. I know we're at least at blade stage. We all believe Jesus is the healer. And we've had some success, and we've had some major failures. But I believe that as we continue to sow the word and keep the word, I don't believe Jesus lied about it. I believe the word has the power in itself to grow to full maturity. And that's Christ in us. Amen? So if we were to beg God for instructions, how do we go from where we are to where we should be? What if he gave us instructions that said, give me this next year of prayer? Complete the purging process. He said, the fruit of that, your reward of that, will be doing the works of the firstborn. But in order for that to happen, you must have that spirit. And that's what we've been teaching on, strengthened with might. Strengthened with might in our inner man by his spirit. So that the Father can do the works within us, which really it's the Father in Christ and Christ in us. And again, it brings me, I'm seeing more and more the pivotal verse is Romans 12:1. He's looking for bodies. Jesus has got the power, trust me. Jesus has got the anointing. Jesus is it. He's looking for vessels that he can live in. Yes, sir. He is purging. See, we are the temple of God. We have all kind. I'm not taking you to many verses today because we won't get it all in. We are the temple of God, individually and collectively. He has us in the year because he's cleansing the temple. Remember? He cleansed the temple. He drove out the money changers. And now I'm going to get a little vile. We don't have many. You know, they sold animals in there. Have you noticed where there be animals, there be stink? There be poop? Is that okay? There be messy? So he's coming into a temple full of greed for one thing. He drove out the money changers. But he also drove out all the, he took a whip. You know, that whip really wasn't for the people. He drove all the animals out of there. All the poop stuff. To me, it's just a perfect type and shadow. Probably not you, but Gary. I think there's still poopy stuff. Stinky, smelly stuff of the flesh that's got to go out of this temple. If there's any greed left, it's got to go. If there's any self-serving, it's got to go. Complete the purging process, he says. Allow my spirit to purge. Because you know what happens after that? It was a perfect shadow, perfect type and shadow. We are the temple. He has to come in first because he will not sit down. You notice he didn't sit down on the throne. He didn't sit down in the middle of the greed. In the middle of the smelly. No, that went first. First, that had to be purged. Then it says he sat down in the temple. And then it says, and they brought to him in the temple the lame and the blind, and he healed them. Every hour that we're giving him, bringing him gold and allowing him to complete this purging process, he is driving out of us, he is purging out of us anything that's not of God. Wrong attitudes, wrong whatever. One more. Let's go over to Mark 9, which is where Mark's account of that lunatic boy that we normally go to Matthew 17 and read about. Let's pick it up in Mark 9, verse 14. When he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, "What question ye with them?" And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master," now here's his father, "I have brought unto thee my son," now notice, even he knew, "which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnashes with his teeth, and pineth away." That, you look up pineth, it means he had no appetite, he couldn't eat. He became like a skeleton with skin. It had to be an awful sight to see. If you add Matthew's account, the father also said, sometimes that devil will throw him in the fire and throw him in the water trying to destroy him. Can you imagine this kid, that young man that looks like a skeleton with skin stretched over him, foaming at the mouth, gnashing with his teeth, rolling on the floor, maybe even roll into the campfire, roll into the water. You got to go get him out. Can you imagine? And he's had it since he was a child. Can you imagine what that father has been through? I can't even hardly imagine the all-night prayers that father probably did, just like Smith did. But he had enough faith to bring him to the disciples. And I think that's commendable. Matthew's account, he says, the father says, "I brought him to thy disciples and they could not cure him." And at one point he says to Jesus, "If you can do anything, help us." And right there is where Jesus said, "If you can believe." He puts it right back, because this man already had a covenant with God. He just wasn't walking in it. "If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes." Well, he's telling us, church, if we can believe. And Jesus, I'll put his hand right on my Bible. "I want to be believed." I believe that's why he has us in these instructions, to take us from where we are to where we believe. Well, anyway, let me finish the story here. Verse 18 again. "And whithersoever he taketh him, he teareth him, he foameth and gnashes with his teeth, he pineth away. I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not." He answered him and said, it's amazing to me, this father knew it was a devil. He's smarter than all the modern physicians today. Sorry. He knew the truth and they don't. "He answered him and saith," God, I don't want to hear this. "O faithless Gary." I do not want to hear that. I'll hear it if that's the way it is, okay, but I don't want to stay there. "O faithless generation." Boy, he doesn't give them an attaboy. They don't get a participation trophy that they tried. He is upset. He knows that he has given them power and authority over these devils. "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me." Now listen, where we're going. When they bring, how would somebody bring their possessed son to Jesus today? How do you do it? They got to bring them to you. Christ in you. We are the only body he has on planet Earth. But bless God, they're supposed to bring them to us. And Christ in us is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't lost one bit of his power. He hasn't changed his mind one little bit. And he'll deliver each and every one of them if he can find the people that will obey the instructions to build the ark in this generation, if he'll allow me, so that he can fill us. I hope you're listening. It sure is quiet. I'm listening myself. "Bring him unto me." This is what we want. We want them, the whole world, to be able to bring those kids to us. Because why? Because of us? Christ in me. Christ in us. Romans 12:1, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto who? Unto God. In order to do that, there's got to be a purging of that body. It's got to be a purging of the temple to present it holy. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him straightway. Now see, that devil's going to try and do the same thing with Jesus that he did with the 12, or the 9. Yeah, there was 9 there. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him straightway, the spirit tear him. He fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. That devil is trying to do the same thing and move Jesus off of his faith. And he asked the father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. Oh, here it is. It's in both accounts. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. Here it is. But if thou can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. That's us. I'm telling you, that's us. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. And what he means by that, he says, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. He's going, I believe that in healing, I believe God is a healer. I believe your disciples that you gave them power. And Lord, I believe with all that I have, to the point I brought him to be healed. See? When Jesus saw that the people came running together, now notice, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And I'm going to emphasize it again in our modern air-conditioned, deodorant-using modern generation. I don't know of any doctor you can ask, can a devil cause deafness? Can a demon cause somebody not to be able to speak? And I don't think you're going to find a doctor anywhere that says that's possible. But it is possible. We got to humble ourselves to believe what the Bible says. And if the Holy Spirit reveals to you it's a devil to cast out, bless God, in front of the whole multitude, you cast it out in Jesus' name. And don't mince any words either. I charge thee, come out of him. See, and we went through this in the healing class that we did, the healing series. This is not the time to pray. Jesus would spend all night in prayer. We go back to last week's lesson about the bread. That's how you get the bread, is in fellowship with the Father. You literally receive the bread, who the Father described as the Holy Spirit. He says, the Holy Spirit is the manifester of the bread. He is the dunamis. He's the same. That dunamis is what Paul is praying that we be strengthened with by his Spirit in the inner man, over there in Ephesians chapter 3. There's a time to pray and a time to act. And now Jesus is on the front lines. If you'll allow me, it's David and Goliath all over again. Type and shadow of Jesus. Jesus, this is not the time to go pray. This is the time to use the results of prayer. That said pretty well. This is the time to this is the time to deliver the bread that you received in prayer. Whew. That'll preach. Combine last week's message with this one. This is bread delivery now. This is anointing. This is the delivery of the Holy Spirit and that manifested power. This is the flow of dunamis right now. So he commands that dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore. That means it did not want to go. See, in another place, Jesus said, I cast out devils with the finger of God. Who is that? That is the Holy Spirit. The devil didn't have a choice. It had to come out, but it's doing all the damage it can on its way out. And the Spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead. Can you imagine what that looked like? I prayed for them. The devil came out, and now he's dead. And it's what it looked like. It said, as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. And they're looking, and the boy apparently is not breathing, at least not perceptibly. Isn't that right? The witnesses all go, they're looking. They've seen dead people. Yeah, he's dead. No, he wasn't either. But even if he was, Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And here we go. When he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately. Don't you love how Dave would? Why did they ask him privately? Because they didn't want everybody else to hear his answer. They'd asked him publicly, he would have answered publicly. Why could not we cast him out? And here he shortens it a little. He said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. You know what that tells me? See, the only real record we have of Jesus fasting that I could be wrong. Correct me if I am. It's okay. The 40-day fast that he did before he had to show down with the devil in the wilderness. But this tells me he fasted more than that. Prayer and fasting. I think he had a lifestyle of prayer and fasting. I believe Jesus lived a fasted life. Can't prove all that. See, in the blueprint, I hear it. Of course, I'm going to hear it in Bronk's voice. We listen to it all the time while we pray in here. But he said that you're called to bring a revival that nobody can bring. Nobody on earth can bring it except through prayer and fasting. Isn't that right? Jesus, we've noticed. We fast. The disciples of the Pharisees, they fast. But your disciples, they don't fast. Why is that, Jesus? Can the children of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the day is coming when the bridegroom shall be taken away. And then, in those days, shall they fast. I hate to admit how just a few years ago, it wasn't very long ago, that verse went off in me. And I said, oh my God. Jesus is plainly saying that during this dispensation, when he's not physically on earth with us, I know he's in your heart, but physically, the glorified man Jesus, man God, don't write me no letters, I know. He's seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. This is that time when the bridegroom is not here physically. And he says, during this time, my disciples, they shall fast. And it dawned on me. I've been calling myself a disciple for over 20 years. At that point, I hadn't fasted enough to fill a thimbleful. Just a little bit here and there. That changed that week. I've done more fasting since then than I've done my whole life. I see it again. Jesus walking in here, putting his hand right on this Bible. I want to be believed. And through his grace, he has given us these precise instructions to go from where we are. Whatever blade, ear level we are, he's bringing us to the full corn in the ear. Let's do what the Master has told us to do. Let's do the blueprint. Don't be moved by what you see. Don't be moved by your emotions. Don't be moved by lack of fruit. Don't be moved by anything else. We have our instructions. And we'll see you in 30 minutes.